Hey, hi everybody. I'm Kim. I'm a compulsive eater and food addict, and I'm a grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous. I came in this program. I've been in here different times, back and forth, and I came in with the gift of desperation, and I'm grateful for that. Low bottom, I was. I've been abstinent this time. It was 5 years, July 9th. I forget how many days that is. Got it somewhere here, but I don't know where. Anyways, and I'm grateful. I am a 100-pounder. I've lost a little over 100 pounds. I still have a lot more weight to be released. And I don't beat myself up over that because every time I've been in OA the first year, I've always had it all released. And this time it hasn't been that way. And that's okay. And anything I have today is all credited to my higher power, whom I call God and Jesus. I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to bring the name Jesus into this again. I will be referring to God as either God or my higher power throughout this. Okay, and I want to say one thing. I'm big on affirmations. I think it's important to do affirmations, positive affirmations, because I've put myself down my whole life. When I wasn't in OA, I put myself down. I'm fat. I'm ugly. I'm stupid. Why did I do this? Oh, I can't believe I'm not stupid. All those things. And so once in a while, I'll start to say something. I nip it right in the butt. I stop. I put the brakes on, and I don't go through. One of my greatest joys is to carry the message. I have this little bookmark I made, and what it says is that which we give away, we keep. That which we keep, we lose. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity. I'm not going to change the words. From drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And that is one of my greatest joys. I sponsor right now, I think I have four people, two men, two women. So where do I start? I've been a compulsive overeater and food addict since the get-go, and even though I wasn't heavy from the get-go, that happened. I remember I would ride my bike a lot, but I would ride it to the candy store, and whatever money I had, I would buy candy at the candy store, I can remember even sitting at the kitchen table, with my family, and my dad didn't like potato skins, and he'd be like, he didn't want potato skins. And I'd be calling for him, like, oh my gosh, I'll take your potato skins. It's, oh my God. Anyways, and I loved carbs. I loved sugar and I loved high fats. I want to say before I forget today, I don't eat refined sugar and I don't eat white flour. Those are my alcoholic foods. And my favorite flavor was more. It was more, and more, I can remember going swimming, and you go swimming, you have fun, you swim a lot, and I did do that. But the concession stand, that was a highlight. That was a highlight of my swimming. It's the concession stand where I would buy this Hostess thing and a frozen candy bar, and I would do that all the time, and my mom used to be kind of cruel, and she would tell us if we're bad, this man was going to take us away, named Mr. Murphy. And I remember one time seeing this pickup truck with like fencing around. I thought, oh my God, I've been bad. He's going to come and get me. But my older sister, would pretend she's Mr. Murphy. And so she would play this game. And we were bad kids. So since we were bad, she was going to punish us. And she would cut up this bread into little cubes and slice carrots and put them in between. And sometimes she would dampen the water. I mean, she would dampen the bread. And a lot of you probably think, oh, gross. And I couldn't be bad enough because I wanted those. I wanted those. I wanted the bread and the carrots that she gave us kids, my brothers and sisters. I have three sisters and two brothers from my mom and dad, and I had two half brothers, one passed. My mom was abusive, and I'm not blaming my mom for the disease, but you gravitate to something that helps you through. So food was my friend, and yeah, I'm just so grateful. My mom, we would watch special movies because we didn't have like VCRs and all that cool stuff like we have now, And we watched these special movies like Cinderella and The Wizard of Oz, and she would make this special stuff. I know you do say names here, but I don't want to like anyways, she'd make this candy. and she'd cut little slivers of it, and it was like, it just seemed like slivers. It was never enough, you know. And in matter of fact, that same thing, I came to OA my first time over 32 years ago, eating 30 pieces of that stuff that I make, 30 pieces. And you don't eat 30 pieces because you're hungry. You don't eat 30 pieces of something because you're hungry, because I have an obsession of the mind, an allergy of the body. First bite is about the obsession. Every bite that follows that is about the allergy, because I trigger it, you know? It's like I just tripped the tripwire. There it is, you know? Anyways, I can remember even my mom putting dessert stuff out, and like, you ate fast in my family or you missed out. And I'm telling you right now, I never missed out. I always got my share, you know? So the big book says I have a disease, like I just said. The two components is the obsession of the mind and then the allergy. I'm not a normal eater or a normal thinker when it comes to food. Doesn't mean I'm not a normal person. It just means when it comes to food, there's not, you know, normal stuff around that. You know, I didn't have a shutoff switch. I didn't have a shutoff switch. It just, even when I'm not hungry, I just couldn't stop. Excuse me. You know, I'd obsess about food, you know, about the sugar, about the flour, you know, when am I going to eat it? How much am I going to eat? When is everybody going to be away from me so I can eat? And they don't know. Like, they don't know on my body. You know, my sponsor, a lot of things we say, we've heard other people say, right? So some of the things I say isn't originally in my head. But like my sponsor says, we're the only animal that welcomes its prey. You know, its predator. No, it's prey, it's predator, I mean. You know, and anyways, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to have found OA. You know, I tried so many pay and way schemes. So many. You know, they promise you this and they promise you that. And you know what? I lost weight really good. I don't think anybody lost weight better than I did. I mean, I was good at losing weight. I just wasn't good at keeping it off. You know, and just losing the weight, that's all, if that's all I do in a pay and way, I don't work on the inside of me. And the inside of me is what needs to change the most. You know? Compulsive overeater robbed me like a thief in the night. You know, I was robbed of a lot of things because of food, you know, because of the compulsion, because of the disease. You know, I was in captivity. I was in bondage, a slave to the disease of compulsive eating and food addiction. I was a prisoner of my own body, my own mind, and my own spirit. You know, I was in bondage to self. I was self-centered, self-absorbed, selfish. I had self-condemnation, self-criticism, self-centeredness, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, self-hatred, self-justification, self-righteous, self-importance, low to no self-esteem, and self-reliant. You know, I was like the bottom feeder on a fish tank, just eating whatever it could eat, you know, getting all the crap it could take. You know, I came in here beaten, broken, torn, battle-weary, mangled, low bottom, and dying. You know, I couldn't stop using my drugs, sugar, flour, and volume. You know, I've been in and out of these rooms. In OA, I've been taught this is a spiritual program, one of integrity, one of honesty, one of stick-to-itiveness, a program that leads to finding a higher power through working the steps. Coming to OA has been the kindest thing that I've ever done for myself. Not getting emotional. I'm just really grateful, you know, because the most beautiful thing I have found in this program is not you guys, of course, it's you guys, but my higher power, and a very close relationship to my higher power, you know, and to all of you. And I love you guys. Step one, I learned and admitted that I was powerless and my life had become unmanageable, and the spiritual principle is honesty. The step two, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and the spiritual principle is hope. And three, I made a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of God as I understood him. And your higher power doesn't have to be like my higher power, and my higher power doesn't have to be like your higher power. You know, I turned my life over to God and surrendered and grew to trust my God. And the big book says this, we have to cease fighting. I fought this disease for a long time. I can't beat the disease. You know, the food won hands down. You know, but I had to wave that white flag, you know, surrender to God, to my higher power, you know, because I can't win that battle. That battle's not mine to win. You know, it's God's, you know. And I tried and tried for years, you know, and that stinking thinking in my head It was bad enough I had the weight on my body, but the stinking thinking in my head, it was not good, and I was dying every day, especially spiritually, it's like I reached up, and I took God's hand. God had that hand for me and he pulled me up, pulled me out of the ashes. I'm just really grateful for that. And today I'm willing to go to any length, but I have to do the PAM work that's required, and that's all the footwork. And then God does the God work. I'm not in the result business. I never will be. I never can be. God is. And I let him do his work. And I consent for him to run my life. I made a searching for a searching, and I can't even talk, searching and fearless moral inventory, on myself. And the spiritual principle is courage. And this is such a healing step. And I have had so many sponsees go out on this step. They leave on four or five, or they leave on 8 and 9, but I promise you that is so healing. For me, it was so healing. This gift of abstinence is so beautiful. And people work their program in different ways. You don't have to do what I do, whatever works best for you, and I've done the fourth step different ways. I've done it the big book way. I've done it with the questions, and I've done both. I'm compulsive, so I've done both, at the same time also. But what I learned too is just like if I'm doing the columns, to write what my part is, to make a fourth column, to examine my behaviors and my character. And that helps me when I do my fourth and fifth. It helps me for when I'm doing my sixth and seventh and my eighth and ninth, and I also had to put my name down for resentment of myself because I ran into resentment of myself. I gotta look at the time here. I can't find it. No. Oh well, there it is. Okay. I didn't start it. Oh brother. I don't know how much time I have now. I just started and take I know I've talked at least 5 minutes. I know at least. I'm just really grateful. And I want to do what's right today. I want to do what God would have me do today. When I cleaned house, I cleaned to the best of my ability and shared it with my sponsor, and it was emotional and so freeing. And every day I work steps 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12. My work is never done. It's never going to be done. What I need to do to in OA to, and that's not the right time. I know I have a lot less than that. I pray and meditate every day. That's really important to me, to talk to God and to listen and to hear, and to do his will. I'm really grateful that I'm abstinent by the grace of God. And again, it's not my doing. And I need a lot of medicine. So I come to these meetings every day. I've never missed a meeting in over 5.5 years, not one day. And it doesn't make me anything special. And the length of time I have in abstinence doesn't in recovery doesn't make me anything special either. But it's really I'm happy for that. And I've heard a lot of old timers say the person that has the most abstinence is the one that got up the earliest today, And every single promise has come true for me, and I try to live by the principles of the program. But the tools are medicine for me and I utilize them. Meetings, but meetings is like my biggest dose of medicine, when I first started, when I came back to OA, I was going to 4 to 7 meetings a day. I remember somebody saying, that's really compulsive, and it's like, you know what? No, my eating was really compulsive. I needed those meetings. I don't go to 7 a day now, but I usually go to at least 2 a day, never less than one, and I've been healing 1 day at a time, and no matter how long I live and no matter how long I'm abstinent, I have to remember the most beautiful gifts I've been given in this program been my abstinence, and I don't have it made. I don't have it made today. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, but if I stay surrendered and keep working my program, and do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm here and God is here and on the outside is my food. Also, I'm here, God is here. On the outside is the circumstances, is whatever problem there is, and if I keep God in the equation, then He intervenes, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my God, for my higher power, because he's my rock, my refuge, and my biggest cheerleader. And he's my affirmation giver, and he's my healer, and he's my strength, and he's the one I trust that never fails me. And I have promise made so many sweet promises to God. God, if you just let me live through this, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna eat healthy. I promise. I'm gonna exercise. I'd even say I'm gonna go to church. I would throw all this stuff in here. And I couldn't keep those promises. I can't keep promises about not eating when I'm not in OA because I don't know how to do that. I only know how to do it when I'm in here, because as soon as I leave here, I'm right back in the food every time, part of my absences today, is not to leave OA, and God is, he never fails me. He's always been with me. My son, my husband died. I had a, one of my best friends died. My husband died 7.5 months later. My son was shot and killed. And that's a really hard thing to lose a child, especially to violence. Like that. But anyways, I didn't have to pick up because I picked up the phone. I picked up meetings. I picked up talking to God to pray, to meditate, to do all the things I need to do, so I didn't have to pick up sugar. Because if I was in an OA, that would have been a 100-pound weight gain easy. I'll tell you that right now. But anyways, but God was with me in that valley. He carried me when I remember times I've said, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this. And it's true, I can't do it, but we can. I have to keep God in the equation and you guys, and when I couldn't walk, my higher power carried me. When I had no strength, it was God's strength that got me through, and I'm grateful for that gift of abstinence, and all that God has given me. Abstinence is a priceless gift, and I'm really grateful for that. And I have to keep remembering, like I said, go to any length. I was willing to go to any length to get my food. I have to be willing to go to any length to recover. And God never left me. He's never left me. I've just left him. In the big book says God is everything or he's nothing. And he's everything to me, my higher power. And I'm a benefactor of God's love. And I'm grateful for that. And today, to the best of my ability, I try not to believe the lies of fear. Because fear wants a lie to me, and so does the disease, and I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for the steps, and I've asked God to please give me wisdom to walk away from relationships that hinder my growth, and I want love and kindness and patience and forgiveness flow through me, in every action today, every interaction. And I'm not perfect, nor do I want to be perfect. Perfectionism is not in my realm. Many people die from trying to be perfect, that they don't measure up. You know what? I don't have to measure up to society. My identity is through my higher power, who my higher power says I am. And I'm just really grateful. Today I can't afford to be distracted. I have to stay connected. I have to carry that fire of dedication. And today I can look you in the eye and say, I love you. I love all of you. I might not even know some of you that haven't been in these rooms before, but I love you. And I don't know you, but I know you. And I can love myself today, and not in a conceited way, but love myself because my higher power wants me to love myself too. And today I choose to follow God and not the disease. And I treasure God's whispers more than the approval of people. And I've outgrown the need for that, for the approval of people. So I stay surrendered. I pray and meditate. I'm working the steps, utilizing tools, and living one day at a time to the best of my ability, I'm so grateful to have found these rooms because people die about every 8 seconds from this disease, might even be less, so just a minute time I've talked, many people have died, but we don't have to. I have this program, thank God, and thank God I could come back, and I'm perfectly imperfect, and I don't even want to be perfect, and it couldn't be if I wanted to, and I have to remember my identity. Because I thought I lost my identity, My husband died, I'm not a wife. My son died, I'm not a mom. I made cards for a 12-step store and this door closed, so I don't do that anymore, and blah, blah, blah. And that's not my identity. Those are things I do. Yes, I was a mom, and I'm still a mom, even though my son's in heaven. I'm a grandma, but that's not who I am. Who I am is who God says I am. I'm the heart. I'm the person that loves. I'm the person that gives. That's who I am. My identity isn't because the other things I do, like the things I make and crafts I make, those are just talents. That's not who I am. That's not who I am at all. And I'm just really grateful. a few affirmations. I'm going to say, I am loved. I'm a child of God. I am beautiful inside and out. I am enough. My OA family loves me. I'm worthy of recovery. God loves me unconditionally. You know, those are some of the affirmations, and I have a lot more too. And the one thing I want to say is, you know, I love the responsibility pledge, always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. And I want to wish everyone love, peace, and joy, and believe. I pray for abstinence. I pray for your recovery. I wish you all recovery and enjoy the path you're on. I can walk with you. I can't walk for you, but I can walk with you. I love all of you, and may serenity, peace, and the grace of your higher power be yours in abundance. And I just want to say, my higher power changed my name to Too Far Gone to Saved by Grace. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity I had today to be able to speak. And I want to thank you. And I love all of you. And I pass.